And here we are back live on the air through BBS Radio Online. Good evening, whatever time of day it is for you. Thank you for being here. Today it is Monday, January the 21st, 2019. Another hour with Winfrey in Sedona and his host, co-host, Terry Brown. And as usual, it is a simulcast with a conference call. And here we have the first person joining in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Heis. It's Prudy in Asheville.
Hello, Prudy in Asheville. Welcome to the call.
Thank you much.
Thank you for being here.
Is there anybody else on?
It's just the two of us, and we are live on BBS.
Oh, okay.
So that's where we are at. As I take another bite from my pizza.
I'm eating a piece of chocolate.
Hey, it's Debbie from Costa Mesa.
Hi, Debbie.
Hello.
Welcome, Debbie.
Hi, guys. Is it windy where you are?
We have some wind. Yesterday it was really windy.
Yeah.
How about by you?
A little bit. And the deserts are pretty windy. Big gusts there.
It seems like it's windy everywhere. That's weird.
I know. Things are changing.
I watched a video of the moon, and I think it was from Britain, and it was really windy. How could it be windy everywhere?
I don't know. Well, was there a call last night other than the 7 o'clock call? Was there a special moon thing, meditation they were going to do?
The moon thing was right after Whole Planet Healing.
Okay. Yeah, I had to work, so I missed it. So, darn it. It was good, huh?
It was at, I think, 9 o'clock your time. Wynn left the phone lines open.
Yeah.
It went on kind of late.
But no talking, just...
At 9 o'clock, there was talking.
Okay.
And it was a meditation. Daphne did a meditation.
Oh, how nice.
Or talked about the moon and what it meant.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello. Hi. It's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Welcome to the call, Jane.
Thank you.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, Prudy.
Debbie Dolphin, Jane. Hi, sweetheart.
Hi, Debbie.
I feel like so silly when I say that sometimes. But, you know. Oh, man, grow up, kid.
You are who you are, you know?
This time I am.
Has somebody else joined in? Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Don. Hi, Don. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Don, is it windy by you?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Hi, Jeannie. Right.
Hello. Hi, Jeannie. Good evening, Jeannie. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, everybody. Hey. Hello, everybody.
It's cold, I know that much. Didn't get into double digits today.
Yeah, it's cold.
Anybody get any super blood moon wolf moon benefits?
What's that?
Anybody get any benefits from the super blood wolf moon?
Good question. I don't know.
I didn't notice anything.
Actually, had a setback because I was so tired because of staying up so late last night.
In the West Coast, it wasn't late. It's like dinner time for you guys.
Really?
I get up at 4:50 in the morning.
Ah, okay. I stand corrected. Relatively late.
And we are live through BBS Radio online. So I want to say welcome to all those that are listening in online. Thank you for being here. As we are waiting for the free man and the brown lady.
I was trying to see if Terry wanted to tell if she's going to say something about Laura Eisenhower. I was going to see if I could find out what she's going to say.
Yeah, that piqued my interest.
Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Karen, too.
Two people joined in. Welcome. If you want to, please hand them a location.
Hi, Karen, New York.
Hello, Karen, New York. Welcome.
Hi, Karen.
Are you New York, PA, or New York?
Somebody else joined in. Welcome. Please say a name or location.
Hi, it's Terry from Dallas.
Welcome to the call, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Thank you.
Hi, Don. Welcome. And the next person, welcome to you. Please say a name or location.
Hi, Janine from Salt Lake City.
Welcome to you, Janine. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Hi, Janine.
Hi.
Here's Roger from Austin.
Well, hello, Roger. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening, guys. Everybody.
Hi, Roger.
And another person joining. Welcome. Please share name and location.
This is David and Valerie from Livermore, California. Hello, everybody.
Welcome to you guys. Thank you for being here.
Hi, David and Valerie.
Hey.
Hi, David and Valerie.
And another person, welcome. Please say a name and location.
This is Wynn.
Welcome to the call, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
You sound a little in the background.
How's that? Is that better?
Yes. And those that just joined in online through BBS Radio, thank you for being here. As we have another hour ahead of us, the Win-Free Hour, with right after that at 7 p.m. Pacific, our daily whole planet healing call, which is only per phone conference call. You can find the information at wholeplanethealing.com. The phone number with the access code, wholeplanethealing.com. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Hi, this is Cecil, C6 Sea Serpent from sunshiny Seattle.
All right. Sunshine guys. Cecil, welcome.
Hi, Cecil.
Hi, guys.
And there was a second line that came in. Welcome. If you want to, please say a name and location.
Abby Bright from California.
Abby, welcome.
Hi, Abby.
Hi, Abby.
Hey.
And the next one, welcome. Please say a name and location.
Hi, Catherine from Santa Clarita, California.
Hello, Catherine. Good evening to you. Welcome.
Good morning, Catherine. Or good evening.
Welcome to the next person. Please say a name and location.
Hello, my name is Nick Bontempo. I'm calling from Perth in Western Australia. How are you all?
All right, very well. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Nick.
Thank you.
Hi, Nick.
Good morning to you, isn't it?
It is, 10 o'clock in the morning, yeah.
And it says,
hey, Nick.
Yes.
How are you? Now, I remember when you first started coming on, you were getting negative attacks.
Correct.
Has it gone down? Have we helped?
You have. It's been, definitely. Working with Fred and Liz a few times and that, my energy and my vibration is getting higher. It's becoming weaker and lesser and less. They're still there. Like, I can still hear them through the telepathy and that. They're still not giving up, trying to put me off my path or my purpose, and they're still, like, with the negativity, and I can feel it some days more than others. But, I'm very much in tune with the universal energies and stuff like that, and I can feel a lot of clearing and a lot of energy clearing and programs and patterns and that clearing out. And I can feel that there. I don't know who it is. I think it's Jesus, because I've asked a few times, and I kind of get Jesus. But I can feel that they're definitely beings of light that are working with me. Every morning I do the light invocation like you guys do at the start of the call, and I meditate and I speak to them. I get answers all the time. So I definitely know that there is love and light energies and beings working with me. But the negative, they still are trying. But I know that there's more light and there's more positivity and there's more positive happening, doing coaching courses to become a life coach and an energy healer. And, like, every time a synchronicity happens, I get this real big rush of positive energy, and, like, even right now, I'm kind of getting goosebumps a little bit. So I know that the light energy and all that is working. And, being on the call with you guys, it has, and I noticed how much effort goes into trying to keep me away from being on the call with you guys. And so I know that they don't like it very much, but it has been helping amazingly. Yeah, it's been awesome.
Great. I am so glad to hear that, you know. I mean, I don't do anything. I'm just like a, how can I say it? What's the word?
Facilitator.
That they pay attention to the people on the calls, and I say that, but every time I hear a story like yours, I say, "Wow, it's working!" You know,
yeah.
We put a lot of work into. Doing this,
yeah,
time into
there, it. There's no doubt that it's real and it's working. Even with when I was working with Fred and that, after I first contacted him from you guys letting me know, and I first contacted him, he called me back really quickly and said, "We got to make an appointment. We got to make a time to speak to you. This is very urgent. You're in a lot of danger." And I spoke to him, and he said, "Mate." He goes, "I don't know how you're still alive." He said, "They've got live implants, they've got this and they've got that, and they're doing this," and, like, just the stuff that he rattled off to me, and it's just like, "We're working flat out right now, and we've got teams on you," and, like, he, and just, like, the follow-up calls with him and that, he's, like, taking down ships and binding this and blocking that and destroying these, and, like, it's, and I could feel it in the beginning, like, I'd feel, like, a massive relief. But then, like, within a week or something, it would come back. And now, like, before it used to be, like, even a couple of days to a week before it had come back really strong again. And now I can feel it, like, the effects, because of my vibrations getting higher, the effects of what they're doing is getting lower, and I'm not as, like, I'm not caught up in that trap or that pattern of responding to them in the same way as well. I'm a little bit more, you know, I'm better equipped to not so much let them get to me, and just keep with the prayers and the meditations and the energy work, and it's making a massive difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I am so glad.
Yeah, man. You guys are amazing, man. It's like, you literally have saved my life. Like, literally. Yeah.
Joey, are you on the line?
Yeah.
Are you listening? Are you listening?
I am now.
Oh, you weren't listening before?
No.
Oh. I wanted you to hear what
Nick
said. He's talking about how our sources are been helping him tremendously.
Wow. I know he's in church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello, Terry. Thank you.
Hi.
You know, every night we do our whole planet healing call. Have you been on that at all? What time is it? When it's 7 o'clock in California, what time is it in Australia?
It's 10 a.m. here. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. You know, that's a very good daily tune-up, you know?
Yeah.
And,
I should say. I have done a few after the calls and that. And
Is it expensive for you to call in?
It is a little bit. I've got a certain amount of minutes that I can use with my phone plan, so I can get a few in. I might actually try doing a few more. But the thing is that I'm at work at the moment. So when you do the healing, I'm at work. And like I drive like the tower crane, the type of cranes you see on top of buildings. So it's a little bit difficult for me to get into a meditative state while driving sometimes. Yeah,
I got you. Don't do it then. Don't do it.
Yeah. If I'm on a break and stuff like that, or there's not much happening, I can do. But yeah, like we're normally fairly busy.
You know, we have a lot of plans. They're not that hard to implement, but I just don't have time to start putting the whole Planet Healing calls on YouTube, so that you know, you can listen to them anytime, you know. And I know when you start connecting to the group souls, the negative does not want to mess with that, and if they've been attacking you, they usually will retreat. You know,
yeah.
I mean, they'll do their best to scare the shit out of you before they retreat. You know,
and, they have been.
Yeah,
I definitely feel like Jesus and Archangel. Like I get the flashes of light from, I think it's Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael. They're the kind of ones I feel the sense of. And like sometimes when I ask who is it or who is it, I see like the triple three pops up, or like something that guides me to feel like it's the Trinity. So I kind of, and like at one time I was sitting down in a chair and like a flash of light hit me and the words Archangel Michael came at me. So I kind of feel that's them. I kind of say, talk to them, I think it's one of the questions I'm going to ask next week, if there's any information on who my that team actually is, so that I can speak more directly to them. But I do speak to them, and like they answer me. Like the Sunday, I was driving along and talking to them, and I was getting confirmations of what they were saying, that they were hearing me, and like I definitely know that they're with me, and I definitely know that they're working, and that they're helping me to overcome all this. And you guys are the same with the Elohim and the Ra, and you guys have been awesome, really has. You like, and like from what and introducing me and guiding me to like Fred and that, and what he was saying, you guys have definitely you've definitely saved my life, and you know it's definitely been a help.
Now, why didn't they record that? Okay.
It would be on BBS.
What is that?
BBS could have it.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's recorded on BBS. Okay.
Right.
So I'm trying to decide what I should do today. Would you guys rather hear a replay, or should we have an open mic?
Open mic.
Open mic.
Replay.
Terry mentioned something about Laura Eisenhower, that she was going to share something.
Daphne mentioned something about Laura Eisenhower, okay?
I thought Terry did.
No.
Oh, Daphne. I did too.
That was Terry. Terry was that day you got mad at her because she didn't put her orders in.
I got mad at Terry?
Laura Eisenhower. Yeah. I listened to Laura Eisenhower before I did my orders.
What? Yeah. No, I wanted to say something. Daphne, are you on the line now?
I was over there by them.
Who is that, Joe? Joe? Never mind, Joe. All right, here we go. It's a miracle that we are creating a spiritual family. But it's beyond spiritual because it moves into 3D. But we can all be who we are, how we are, when we are. We don't have to try to be something, put on a face, and including me and Terry. You know, we're all just here. And you know, Daphne made an interesting point. She said, I was talking to her afterwards the other day. Now, I think it's bloody amazing that Daphne is coming into the calls for the first time in a long time.
7 years.
Because I gave up on her. And, she was so difficult, she was really critical of me. She wanted me to be other than I was, and I am always other than I am because I'm always something in the moment. But then she said, "Wendy, you know what? You're bringing in 0 point energy on the calls, okay?" And you know what? She is like taking charge of her mother, taking care of her mother. And her mother is finding, support in the calls, which is kind of amazing. So it's kind of like when somebody sees how this impacts somebody, like Nick was sharing how it impacted him, it's just, you can't just not notice that, you know? So in any case, I guess we're doing an open mic. And anybody else want to share a story of how our work has impacted them?
Yeah, when
who's that?
It's Raiden.
Yes, Raiden.
You know, I something just came on. Sorry. The work that me and Terry, the group, did to finally relinquish, I guess some of the hurt that was involved in a past lifetime with me and Native Americans and military and some different things like that, I think was really, really pivotal for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that was important. You know, I think that was important.
Well, I am so glad. Yeah. You know,
me too.
Terry loves you.
Well, I love Terry.
Terry's much more fuzzy than I am. You know, warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
But
that's to say the least.
To say the least, right? Oh well. But somebody's got to be tougher. You can't get this into the world. You can't.
No, you have your moments.
I have. Well, thank you. But you know, should I tell people about the past life? I always think it's cool to share that.
It's on the recordings. It's on the recordings. It was just, you know, that trail of tears that it was actually a misguided shaman, actually. You know what I mean?
It makes me cry to even think of the story, you know? It brings tears to my eyes. Do you guys know the story? Let me see how many don't know the story.
Do not know the story.
No, do not. Who knows the story?
I've heard it. I'd like to hear it again.
Yeah. I would love to hear it.
Yeah.
That part of it, anyway.
It's on one of the Sunday recordings. That was the big breakthrough, that one Sunday. Remember, Terry?
Yeah. I remember. I'll never forget.
Yeah.
Well, we don't even know what day it is. You'd have to spend a week listening to Sunday recordings to find it. So
you could probably figure it out.
Why don't I just share it? Everyone wants to hear it.
Yeah. Time's ticking.
Okay. I was going to talk about it a couple of weeks ago. I said, Raiden is the only guy on our calls that had a TV show dedicated to his past life. And Raiden was Kit Carson. Does anybody not know who Kit Carson was?
Yeah, we do.
Kit Carson, he was in the Carson City, Nevada.
It was named after him.
Yeah, he was a bandit or something like that.
No, he wasn't a bandit. I don't think.
No, he never was a bandit. He was part of the movement of Manifest Destiny. He was one of the people in there. They used him.
He was. You know, you might notice that Raiden has got a really beautiful disposition. He's very likable. Everybody likes him. And when I met him, he was like running around being a traitor. Not a traitor, a traitor. He would show up and, you know, he reminded me of myself when I was in my vagabond days. I mean, I did all these crazy things so that I could keep moving around and I didn't have to sit still, from playing music to selling little things in stores to hitchhiking, you know. And there's a certain people who are wanderers adopt that form of life because it keeps them out of the matrix. When you move around, you move faster than everything can catch you. When you stay in one place, you got to be really strong to stay in one place, or a hermit, okay, in order to stay in a high consciousness. Or it's so easy to get drawn into the dross of 3D. And, I mean, the only reason I can do it now is because I have a high purpose. But when I didn't have a high purpose, and I'd stay in one place, I would get drawn into the humdrum of life. Oh, I got to earn a living. I got to settle down. I got to get married. I have to have kids. You know, all the things that, are expected of a normal person in 3D. So I recognized in Raiden that part of myself that was a rambler and that he was staying one step ahead of things, and he would trade things with people. And, you know, there's a lot of energy in getting to the next person you trade something with, okay? It's like fun. It's a way of earning a living, but it's also staying above the dross of 3D. And Raiden was living in Taos, New Mexico, which happened to be where Kit Carson lived and settled. And somehow it came up where he just told me, I really liked Raiden. Terry and I both liked him. He came to Sedona. He had been listening to our calls for a long time. I don't remember how long. And I don't think he ever introduced himself on the calls. He just listened. And I'm sure there's some of you out there listening right now. We don't know who you are, but you listen, and you pick up on the energy, and that's okay. I don't have to know who everybody is. But he was listening to our calls, and then he started saying hello, and then he decided to come to Sedona. And came to visit. And Terry and I went out with him, and we both liked him. But Terry was much more nurturing than I was, you know. So Terry and Raiden would go out and have lunches together and stuff. And eventually, he started saying that he thought, did you know you were Kit Carson, or did you just have a hunch you were?
I knew it in my core when I first went into the house, but I had flashes as a youth, you know, like past life flashes.
Yeah. You went into King Carson's house in Taos, right?
The center of town. Yeah.
Yeah.
They turned it into a museum, essentially, the way he left it, you know?
Yeah.
He died up in a field in Colorado.
So Kit Carson was a trader, and he would travel around and trade things, and he did a lot of stuff with Native Americans and trading their goods and probably bringing them into the white man's world. And he was trusted. He built all this trust, and I don't know if I'll get the story completely right, but...
Well, I got it really, really right. I got it really, really down. I found out, like, what happened. It was actually because of the, you know, the general that was directing things, you know. He got forced into a situation, and there was criminals within the Navajo tribe that created something, then ran off, and the people had to pay for it. So it was just a real mess for him and the people. And overriding powers created it. And, you know, I received a lot of guilt until I could get real clarity of how it happened, you know.
What was happening was the Navajos were raiding the white people, a group of, you know, not the whole tribe, but parts of them were kind of criminal terrorists.
Right. And there was over 3,000 murders in a year and a half back then, so think about that.
Yeah.
There weren't that many people out.
And they were raping women, and they were doing all this horrible stuff. And
That was, who was the general?
You know,
Fremont, right. So there was the idea that they had to control the Navajo. And unfortunately, they did it with the whole tribe, and not just the people who were doing it. And they got Kit Carson to help them, because Kit Carson was loved by them. Was a traitor.
What
probably,
did the general want to do?
Well, wasn't
what
the general,
was general supposed to do?
I'm just going to tell you. We're going to get to it. Just be patient. So they were going to move the tribe to a different location, but they had some nefarious agendas. Like, in moving the tribe, they gave them blankets with smallpox.
No, they didn't. That was
a
different story.
That was a different tribe. Well, they were moving them. Okay, it was called the Long Walk, and they were freezing to death or something. You know, they started moving the tribe, and a lot of the tribe died. And Raiden was there, being probably like a patsy. Like, I don't think he, not Raiden, Kit Carson was a patsy. Can I say that, Raiden?
Well, he was forced into it. He got goat roped into the military, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't want to do it.
Yeah. And then what happened was a lot of those Indians that died attached themselves to Kit Carson and Raiden and this wife.
Yep.
I'm here. I get teary when I talk about it. This wife, Raiden, has been haunted by those Indians. They push him. He has all these accidents. They create horrible things that have happened for him. It was like he had a curse on him.
So was that dead woman. He was very powerful.
Yeah. Who was it? The woman?
No, the shaman. Barry, remember?
Yeah, I remember the shaman. He was following you around and pushing you in a hole in Egypt. And he was determined to get you. And when I started talking to him, he started following me around and explaining his side of the situation.
He thought he was doing the right thing, you know, and he did a good job for a while.
And Raiden had all these accidents, and his body got twisted, and he's been, like, working on, I mean, trucks would hit him. Trucks would hit his car. He'd fall into ditches, you know, and it was under the pyramid. Yeah. And it's kind of like Terry tuned into it. Did you know? You didn't know it was Indians, did you? You didn't know. You didn't connect that up, did you?
I did.
She did.
Terry. Raiden, you didn't connect it up, right?
Well, you know, I had been doing the battles with the Crusader, the Orion Crusader, you know, which I think was cooked up to the whole deal, you know.
So in any case, Terry was talking to the Indians on the other side, and slowly but surely, they got him to, I think they got them to forgive him, and
you know, he
well,
is in the...
Well, I think that eventually the shaman, like, after talking, telling me for a while what happened, he got thinking that he was just wasting his life and he'd abandoned the tribe to follow Raiden, and he finally realized that he should be back with his tribe, helping his tribe.
Right, exactly. He went back, and everybody's peaceful now.
Right.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yes.
Now, another amazing thing, okay? We have this guy that comes over, lives in Sedona, and we made the initial connection with him when we were in L.A., and he was reading the Creator God book. And when he came to Sedona, he started coming over our house and helping us on some of our projects that we were doing, like attendance and putting them in boxes and stuff. And you know, he's kind of an eccentric fellow. He's very, very, how would you describe him, Terry? He's very precise. He's very regimented and conscientious. And he was writing a book on the Northwest Territory.
Right.
Okay. Of all things. And this guy was the spitting image of the general that we were ordering. General Fremont, who was ordering Kit Carson to do these things.
Right.
And he was following orders. It's just amazing the way karma brings people together. And
right.
Terry, your sound is muffled. I don't know if you can do anything about it.
Okay.
So all that was part of the Manifest Destiny movement. So if you track the money back and you track the Fremont and stuff, you'll see, you know what I mean, how this, you know, how this was orchestrated and who was doing this to... but too much for this call. You just have to do a little bit of research.
Yeah.
Track it right there.
And then another thing that happened in that period of time is Raiden suddenly had this new girlfriend. And when I looked her up, he looked like Kit Carson. She was, you may not agree with me, but I'm pretty sure she was Kit Carson's wife, you know?
Well, when she went to Taos with me and we looked at this picture on the wall, it was almost identical to her. I mean, she got really shook up.
That's good to share. It just brings a lot of love up.
Wow.
And if there's any Indians listening, let's just send them all love. And, any more forgiveness that can be added to this. And it's amazing the way things translate from this side to the other side. Anyone else have a good story?
Hey, Wynn, it's Valerie.
Yeah, Valerie.
Yeah, I went to Taos in Mexico. Let's see, what year was it? 1995, I believe. My son was a year old, so Grandma took care of him while we went to Taos, right? We were there for 3 days, and it was just amazing how to see how it used to be, so to speak, right?
Now, you went to where? Tell me again. Where did you go?
Chalce.
Oh, Chalce. Chalce, New Mexico. Okay.
Right, because you reminded me of that, okay? And my friend told me, you should go there, Valerie. It's timeless. And so, like 10 years later, I finally made it there. And we had a great time. We saw all the adobe houses and whatever, right? Anyway, we're driving away, and all of a sudden, I felt like I had not been anywhere for 3 days. Something like that. It was timeless. As we're driving away, I'm like, what happened? What happened? Wait, what? What was that about?
Right.
Yes. And during that time, after that time we got home, I had pictures. And my husband had bought a big Navajo, a big axe, an Indian axe, you know, relics from their era. And plus a bow and arrow, plus all these weapons. And I bought, like, the ceramic stuff, you know, coasters or beads, beautiful stuff. And when I saw these pictures, the look on his face just made me, it gave me the creeps.
Wow.
Right?
Now, look on whose face?
My husband's face in the picture. When he's holding up the axe, like, you know.
You were taking his picture in Taos, right?
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
And so when they're talking about Indian spirits coming back or whatever, right? Like you were earlier, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And then another time I'm in New Mexico to visit Oliver, a friend of mine, and he lives right next door to an old Indian burial ground. And I didn't know that at the time when I came to visit. But after about 3 days, I was walking down the hallway, and the bathroom mirror is right down there. And I said to myself, or it came to me, you look like a 12-year-old boy. And it happened 2 days in a row. I'm like, what the heck was that? And the next day, we're having dinner with his girlfriend and me. And we were having spaghetti, and I took a big old pile. And Oliver says, Valerie, you have a 12-year-old boy appetite. And I said, what? Wait a minute. There's something weird, right? And so I called my friend Christina, who is psychic. I said, you got to help me out here. There's something weird. I don't know what's happening. And so she says, I see stained glass. She's trying to focus on me like Terry does, you know. And I look around. There's no windows. I'm looking around for 10 minutes or whatever. And I finally realize there's a stained glass vase right in front of me, a little vase. I say, oh. She goes, okay, I got you. There's a big Indian right outside the window watching you. He's got size 10 shoes, a big cowboy hat, and he's here to protect that little boy in the house, a little 12-year-old boy who's running around like he's playing war or something, you know, causing mischief. And all you have to do is tell him to, it's time to go. You're done here. It's time to go. So I told Oliver about it. It was a hard one to sell because he's a professor of science and whatever. Anyway, I told him, I said, you know what? This is what happened, right? He says, oh, well, there's an Indian burial ground right behind my house. Oh, like 5 acres of Indian burial ground. So that's my story.
Okay. Anyway,
The little kid left. Yeah, the energy went away from that little guy.
You know, I'm just scrolling through things. You know, when we first started doing conference calls, the Elohim did an introduction to our conference calls to Daphne. And I thought I'd play it. You want to hear it? I don't remember what it is, but here we go.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
This moment has been a very long time in coming. We bid you welcome. We bid you love, light, peace, and are very honored at
the infinitesimal beauty of your essences, which we see shining as bright diamonds. You are indeed intergalactic sojourners. Your own brilliance, your own love, your own caring, your own vastness of interdimensionality, and your own sacrifices, many of which you are unaware. Honor us, for you, as a race, as fledgling humans cast into the darkest, densest liquid medium of 3D, are attempting to do, to pull off, in your colloquial term, something which has never successfully been completed, which is to insert love light, a liquid stream. Imagine liquid gold into a system of duality, into a system of competition, of dominion, as power, as might, not compassion, and to lift this duality into the Trinitarian triune consciousness of Mother, Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit can take place. A certain pinching upwards of the skin, the etheric skin of your earth, lending itself as a doorway, as a portal, as a bridge into the higher realm. What this necessitates in the evolving individual is a heart which is open. We do not require perfection, but we do require a loving intent. Mistakes are to be dusted off as one falls down, gets up, dusts oneself off. We would ask you not to hold yourselves back, to beat yourselves up, because all is spinning ever faster and ever more intensely now. You, on planet Earth, are entering a time of vast economic, climactic, monetary, political instability. There is order to it, but it is chaotic. Even chaos has its own inherent order. It is basically 3D breaking down. We say this not to instill fear, but rather to instill a sense of preparedness and to understand that your anchor point can no longer be anything you reference outside of yourself. It must be within yourself, within your heart. It must be within your community of spiritual, like-minded persons and animals and nature and Mother Earth. Naturally, you still require food and shelter. But these things shall slip and slide and change very quickly. Be prepared for quick changes. Be prepared also, as you are being prepared genetically, for your body to start releasing vast amounts of stored toxins, aches, pains, colds, all of these things. They shall come up. Bless them. Talk to your guardian angels. Ask them to slow down the process if it is too intense. But know that there is an end to it. Of God, of the Christed essence. Also referred in your spiritual practices as Great Mother, Father Sky, Great Mother Earth, the essence of Kuan Yin, the Buddha. The list goes on. We are the Council of An. We are a subset of the Council of the Elohim. The Earth is under our care, is under our auspice of diligent oversight, gentle persuasion, correction, if we can do so without violating that which is paramount, being free will. You see, at this time, in 2007, there is an accumulation of enough magnitude approaching what you call critical mass that a certain lifting off, though in the middle, it can be very uncomfortable. We send you blessings, dear ones. We surround your heart in a silver-gold galactic frequency of love light. Know that you are protected, that you are loved. You are watched over. You may call on us at any time. And we will always hear and always answer your prayers. Do not despair. Have patience. Be vigilant. Be discerning. Have courage. And take heart. For you are now initiated. You are spiritual sojourners. We shall end this with an ohm.
All right.
Thank
We're going over the whole. Well, I had to play that for Daphne. A lot of times people like Daphne or Terry were channeling, and they don't even realize what they just said, you know?
Yeah.
And that was great. 2007, that was in the early days. Okay. So thank you all for being here. Thank you all who shared. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Raiden. And we'll see you over Whole Planet Healing.
Thank you from Seattle.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks a
lot. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks, Raiden. Thanks, Nick.